Poor parents, by contrast, are intimidated by authority. They react passively and stay in the background. Leroux writes of one low-income parent, "At a parent-teacher conference, for example, Mrs. McAllister, who is a high school graduate, seems subdued. The gregarious and outgoing nature she displays at home is hidden in this setting. She sits hunched over in the chair, and she keeps her jacket zipped up. She's very quiet. When the teacher reports that Harold has not been turning in his homework, Mrs. McAllister clearly is flabbergasted, but all she says is, 'He did it at home.' She does not follow up with the teacher or attempt to intervene on Harold's behalf. In her view, it is up to the teachers to manage her son's education. That is their job, not hers." Leroux calls the middle-class parenting style concerted cultivation. It's an attempt to actively foster and assess a child's talents, opinions, and skills. Poor parents tend to follow, by contrast, a strategy of accomplishment of natural growth. They see their responsibility to care for their children, but to let them grow and develop on their own. Leroux stresses that one style isn't morally better than the other. In fact, the poorer children were, to her mind, often better behaved, less whiny, more creative in making use of their own time, and had a well-developed sense of independence. But in practical terms, concerted cultivation has enormous advantages. The heavily scheduled middle-class child is exposed to a constantly shifting set of experiences. She learns teamwork and how to cope in highly structured settings. She is taught how to interact comfortably with adults and to speak up when she needs to. In Leroux's words, the middle-class children learn a sense of entitlement. That word, of course, has negative connotations these days, but Leroux means it in the best sense of the term. They acted as though they had a right to pursue their own individual preferences and to actively manage interactions in institutional settings. They appeared comfortable in those settings. They were open to sharing information and asking for attention. It was common practice among middle-class children to shift interactions to suit their preferences. They knew the rules. Even in fourth grade, Leroux goes on, middle-class children appeared to be acting on their own behalf to gain advantages. They made special requests of teachers and doctors to adjust procedures to accommodate their desires. By contrast, the working class and poor children were characterized by what Leroux calls an emerging sense of distance, distrust, and constraint. They didn't know how to get their way, or how to customize, in Leroux's wonderful phrase, whatever environment they were in for their best purposes. In one telling scene, Leroux describes a visit to the doctor by Alex Williams, a 9-year-old boy, and his mother, Christina. The Williamses are wealthy professionals. "Alex, you should be thinking of questions you might want to ask the doctor," Christina says, in a car on the way to the doctor's office. "You can ask him anything you want. Don't be shy. You can ask anything." Alex thinks for a moment, then says, "I have some bumps under my arms from my deodorant." Christina, "Really? You mean from your new deodorant?" Alex, "Yes." Christina, "Well, you should ask the doctor." Alex's mother, Leroux writes, is teaching that he has the right to speak up, that even though he's going to be in a room with an older person of authority, it's perfectly all right for him to assert himself. They meet the doctor, a genial man in his early 40s. He tells Alex that he's in the 95th percentile in height. Alex then interrupts. "Alex, I'm in the what?" "Doctor, it means that you're taller than more than 95 out of 100 young men when they're 10 years old." "Alex, I'm not 10. "Doctor, well, they graft you at 10. You're 9 years and 10 months. They usually take the closest year to that graft."